And find the book of Psalms, chapter 138. And while you're turning there, growing up in South Jersey, I visited North Jersey a few times. I call North Jersey Southwestern New York, because Southwestern New York City. And I drive through New York City, you know, with my gun on the seat, my doors locked, and in the left lane as fast as I can drive. I don't like New York City. I am not a city boy. New York City intimidates me. New York City is one of the few cities that I'm intimidated by. But I remember, you know, growing up in South Jersey, I had a shirt. And growing up in New Jersey, you know, if you're from Jersey, you don't say water, you say water. And so we used to sing that song, Drinking at the Springs of Living Water. But I had a shirt made when I was in high school. And everybody in South Jersey had them, said, I'm from the state of South Jersey. Because we didn't claim North Jersey at all. And that's the way Western New Yorkers are. Western New Yorkers, y'all are different. You just are. And I like Western New York. I like Western New York. I like the state of New York, all except for New York City. And I just, that place is just, I don't know. You ought to divorce, you'd get a vote, and it'd be a Republican vote if you could divorce New York City. Amen goes right there. You're welcome. Look, I'm an American. I grew up in this country, and I hate to see what's going on. But I like all the songs we sang this morning, and I like the Christmas time of year. I like the birth of Christ. I like all that stuff. I have enjoyed this conference. Doc, thank you for inviting me. Thank you for letting me come. Thank you for supporting us, church, as on a monthly basis. I got to get home, and I've got to send my orphans some money. And God's just been good. He's answered prayer, and you pray, because I've got some big decisions and some big moves that have to transpire in the next couple of weeks, and I could use your prayers. People are going to get their feelings hurt. People are going to get mad, but you know, you got to do what you got to do. I'm not afraid. I don't like hurting people's feelings, but I'm an old man now. It's like, I rather hurt your feelings than hurt his feelings. And and that's where we are. If you got your Bible this morning, now it's 11:45. Y'all have ate and sang for a long time. And normally I look at the clock at 11:45, I'm thinking, I got 15 minutes to preach. Ain't happening. So we'll get out of here as soon as God is finished with us. As soon as I run out of voice. Take your Bible, go to Psalm 138, find verse 1 and stand together with me, please, if you would. Please, out of respect for the Word of God. You know, some preachers say, let's stand and stretch our legs. No, let's stand out of respect for the Word of God. That's what the book of Nehemiah says. The book of Nehemiah says when they brought the Bible in, everybody stood up. Amen. Look what it says in verse 1. And we're just going to read verse 1 and 2, and then I'm going to use a bunch of verses. And I want to preach to you on magnified above all His name. Look at verse 1. The Bible says, I will praise Thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto Thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. And then he has that colon and he finishes the whole statement by saying this, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. For thou, God, thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. God, I'm so thankful and appreciative of all of your many good graces. God, I don't deserve to stand behind a pulpit. I don't deserve to be alive. I'm just a sinner saved by the grace of God. And God, what I deserve is to be with my back broke, burning in hell. But God, you saw fit to save me out of your mercy and grace for mankind. And Lord, I'm thankful that I get to be here. God, I'm thankful for what I've heard and what I've learned this week. And God, not only what I've studied and learned, but what I saw and heard and learned as I was taught the Word of God today. God, this week. And Lord, I'm thankful. I'm kind of a little bummed out because I'm not going to be here Wednesday night. I kind of feel cheated. But God, I'll be able to watch it on YouTube and I'll be able to get it all. And Lord, I just thank you for the Bible. I thank you for that book above all books. And God, I do appreciate it. And Lord, I pray you help me today. I pray you push me off to the side. And I pray you'll speak to me and through me to your people. God, would you give us ears to hear and hearts to understand and apply your word? Even where I can't figure out how to apply it properly, God, would you in our hearts? And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can have a seat if you would. You know, I got to thinking about somebody. I might have picked it up from here. I pick up a lot of stuff. You used to have notes and all kinds of stuff on the back table. But I guess, I don't know what happened. Maybe Doc's getting tired. I'm just kidding. But I think I picked this up from here, but I don't remember. But that's okay. I'm old and it doesn't matter. But it's entitled Famous Quote Concerning the Bible. I think I picked it up. Anyway, here it goes. The Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's character. Here, paradise is restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our good its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, prayerfully. It is a mine, a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, a river of pleasure. It is given to you in life, will be opened at the judgment and remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, rewards the greatest labor, and condemns all who trifle with its holy content. I have that taped in the back of my Bible, and I just, every once in a while, I read it places where I know it'll be appreciated, and occasionally where it won't be. I was in a church, and I was preaching. I was in New Jersey, and I was preaching in a church, and I kind of remember the place. And I'm preaching, and I get done preaching, and I just ripped and tore on everything and about being a King James Bible. And I'm ranting and raving and I'm just throwing a hissy fit and I'm spitting all over the first couple, two, three rows. I get all said and done and my wife's got her head down like this. And I'm thinking, I wonder why she's got her head down. And I walked in, I sat in the pew and the pastor got up with that sheepish, and I noticed the Bible, or excuse me, the book he had that they called a Bible was the NIV. And I just called everybody a wicked, vile devil. And you know what? I felt very, very bad for about a second and a half. And then I realized God said, if you don't tell them, who's coming here to tell them? Amen. And I've never been able to get invited back to tell them again. You know, God's word separates stuff. God's word is, let me just get into it this morning, if you'll allow me. He says in verse 1, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. Now there was a lot of false worship and a lot of junk going on back in those days like today. And he says, I'm going to praise you, the God of gods. He said, I'm going to praise before the gods, before all these small G-O-Ds. He said, I will praise. I said, well, I will sing praise unto thee. I mean, you ought to sing. You ought to like singing. You ought to sing praises. I've gone to a couple of these churches where they got the little screens on the wall and you know, seven words 36 times. And I'm going like, dude, get over this nonsense. They don't ever have me back either. I won't ever go back in most cases. You know, I'll preach at a Catholic church if they'll let me. I'd never have them come preach here, but I go preach there if they'll let me. I'm just saying now for all my Catholic brethren, all my Catholic friends that are listening, I come preach at your church if you like, but here's what's coming. He says this, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Amen. He said, I'm going to praise you because you're a loving, kind, sweet, wonderful God. But I'm going to praise you also because you're a God of truth. Amen. Amen. And then he says, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. I read, when I got called to preach, I told you the story, but when I got called to preach, the guy got up and he read Psalm 34 verse 3. He said, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. That was the text verse. He said, and he preached on magnifying the Lord. And here God says, and he's not forgetful. He didn't forget what he said. He still wants us, we're still supposed to magnify the Lord. But he said this, he said, thou hast magnified thy word. What's the word magnify mean? Means to increase the apparent size, to make greater in actual size, to enlarge, to cause to seem or be greater, to have more or most serious importance, to make more excited, to intensify. Listen, God wants us to magnify. He magnified his word. He expects us to understand that his word is something. I've entitled this, Magnified Above All My Name. He's magnified his word above all his name. He says it here. Does that mean the name of Jesus isn't powerful? Absolutely not. Does that downgrade the name of Jesus? Absolutely not. What it does, it lifts the Word of God. It lifts a Bible. It lifts the Bible, the truth, so that you and I understand what I've been given by God is real and serious and needs to be serious in our lives. It needs to take on a larger role in our lives. I'm afraid we're living in a day and age that the Bible is just... some people bring it to church, some people don't. Well, I got it on my telephone. Can I tell you something? It don't belong. I've got it on my phone too. When I look up when I'm stuck somewhere and I got to look something up. But it's not like having a book. Amen. Can I tell you something? Everybody that preaches from a computer, I pray for it to go. I pray for it to lock up while they're preaching. There's just something about this book. I like having something I can have in front of me. I'm looking at people. They got pens and papers. And I mean, it's just, I had that black preacher The assistant pastor's name is Brother Andrew Cox. He picked up my Bible. He goes, Lord, he says, you got some notes up in this thing, don't you? He said, I ain't never seen one like this. I said, what's your Bible look like? He goes, I don't write in it like this. I said, man, you best commence a writing in it. Yeah, that's right. I'm there. I don't expect you to write in your Bible, but I write in mine. Because there's just something about it. It's not like any other book. May I say, in Psalm chapter 119 and verse 140, when I thought about magnified above all his name, why would he do that? Because his word is pure. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 119 and verse 140, thy word is very pure. Therefore thy servant loveth it. It said, listen, it said, if something, I wanted to be a chemist. I worked as a lab technician, and then I worked as a technologist, and we had to go through varying degrees of what is contaminated and what is pure. And you always wanted to get the purest samples. We run things through AA machines, these atomic absorption machines. Back then, they cost millions of dollars. Now they're about $400,000 or $500,000 still. And they've got these machines that can break down things into parts per billion. You know, phosgene gas, about one or two parts per billion can kill you, will kill you. It's lethal. And I remember testing stuff, and we were always looking for the purity of a sample. And when I ran the stuff in the Freon lab for a long, long time. All the air conditioning stuff that are in your cars today, the chemists that I was working with, several of the PhD chemists that I was working with, we developed the 134A and all the other, and the 143 and all the other stuff that's in. I was there. And in the laboratory, and I remember sticking those machines, and it coming out to be 99.99997%. I mean, they ran that thing out, and it had to be. They were looking for the purest of samples. Can I tell you when you stick the Word of God into the Almighty's atomic absorption machine, it comes out with 100.00000%. It's absolutely. God says, he didn't say, doesn't say it. He doesn't say, thy word is pure. That would have been good because he's God. He says this, thy word is very pure. Why does he need an adjective? Why does he need that helper to very pure? It's not going to get any purer than it is. God did that for you and I because he knows I'm dumb. He knows sometimes that I'm just not going to believe him. So he blows it up. He magnifies it. He says, it's not just pure. It's very pure. Amen. Just want you to know, his word is very pure. In Psalm chapter 12, verse 6 and 7, the Bible says the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times, that number of completion, purified, that number of maybe perfection, that number of completion, that number purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. He says his word is pure. His word is very pure. He says they are pure and purified absolutely seven times. Pure, pure, pure. I mean, to the place where they're just absolutely very pure. But he says they're preserved. He says, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. I'm glad that I have a Bible. But my Bible has been perfect. It is very pure. But it is God who has preserved it through the generations. It's God who has kept it. And I have exactly what they had in the past. I have God's pure, perfect, preserved word. Amen. Amen. It's inspired by God. It's preserved by God. It is very pure. Can I say they're perfectly right? The Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse, excuse me, Psalm 19, verse 8, Thy statute, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Can I say, not only are they very pure and purified and preserved, but they're perfectly right. The statutes of the Lord are right. There's no wrong. They are right. The Bible says, rejoicing the heart. I can rejoice. I can have joy in my heart when I read my Bible because I know it's right. I don't have to wonder. I don't have to be concerned. I can have real joy. Can I tell you something? You can be joyful in the Lord when you get in the book to know it's right. Amen. I've heard for the last 2.5 years, and I'm sick of it, with all the scamdemic garbage. I've heard, follow the science. I wish somebody would. Follow the science. Hey, I'm tired of being lied to. I thank God. It's Brother Mike, right? Doctor? Okay. I like Mike and Ike. I thank God in the midst of all the lies I've been told all my life, I can come to the place where I can get in my Bible and I'm never going to hear a lie. I'm not going to be lied to. It's not only very pure, but it's right. Can I tell you something? There are no mistakes. You say, well, I find some passages that disagree. They disagree because you and I are mixed up, not because God is. Amen. It's because we're ignorant of what's taking place, not because God's ignorant, not because God did not make a mistake. He says, "Thy statutes, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart, and the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." You know what God does? God illuminates my God. You guys that have ever preached a sermon, as you've read the Word of God, as you're reading the Word of God, when I get a sermon, you know how I get it? When I get a thought, when God wants me to see something, you know what He does? I'll be reading along. I can't read without my glasses, but I'll be reading along, and all of a sudden the words will start growing off the page. He'll go, "Hey, did you see that?" And I'm going, "I can't miss it. That's all I can see." And I sit there and I go, and I write it down. And I write the scripture, and I write the thoughts that are going through my mind at that time, because God said, "I don't want you to miss this." There are some days that I'll read through my Bible, and I'll read for, my wife will say, "Are you ever coming out of your office?" I'll read through my Bible for an hour before God gives me something. And there are some days that, and I wait for the, you know why? Because that's the next sermon coming. I wait for it because God gives me something so that I can take it and then I can give it to, I can use it and then I can pass it along. And there are some days I get in my Bible, Brother David, 10 minutes, and I've consumed for the next hour. I'm writing sermon, just thought, like a crazy man. And my granddaughters come in my room and they go, "Tons, why is your desk so messy?" "Don't touch nothing." They don't call me Grandpa or Papa or anything. They call me Tots. Not Tater Tots, just Tots. I said, "Tots, why you got notes? You got stuff everywhere." "Yeah, I know. Leave it alone." And now they're old enough to know, oh, is Tots reading his Bible? And they sneak in. And they come sneak over by my lap. Can I read the Bible with you? Yeah. But as soon as it happens, sit still. And I'm writing around them. Why? Because God has magnified His name, His word above all His name. The word of God is magnified. It's very pure. It enlightens the eyes. It opens my eyes. That opens my mind and gives me all kinds of unbelievable illumination for my eyes and my mind. Thank God for the word of God. Can I tell you, sometimes you ought to just read it just to clear stuff out in your head. I've got a lot of junk in this head. A lot of wicked stuff from the past. You know how I keep it in the back? Just reading his book. Because the Bible says the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. It pushes all that garbage to the back. It just purifies and continues to purify my mind as it passes through my eyes. There's only two ways into your brain. Only two ways. Through your eyes and through your ears. Only way for the for God or the world to affect you. The only way to you is through your eyes and your ears. You say, how about your mouth? Well, they can poison you, you can die, and I'm gonna go see Jesus. See ya. But I don't want them to affect while I'm here who I am and what I am in him. But I want God to affect me. So he says, I've got a pure word that'll it's like putting Ajax in a sink. God just takes it and he cleans. I've got junk that it rises to the surface because it's in there. Until I get to heaven and God hits the erase button, I'm stuck with it. So are you. But until then, God says, I got the solution for you down here on earth. I've got a pure, perfect, preserved, enlightening word that'll just clean stuff up. Can I say they are a pure, powerful shield? The Bible says in Proverbs 30 and verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. His word is a powerful, pure shield. It guards my heart and my eyes and my mind and helps in my life. Can I say in Romans chapter 7, verse 12, the Bible says, wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Can I say his word is holy and just and good and just wonderful? He's magnified his word above all his name because his word is pure. May I say this? I believe he's magnified his word above all his name because his word is truth. His word is truth. The Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse 142, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. It didn't say truth or a truth. It said the truth. That article means this. And I'm going to give it to you. Here it comes. The truth. Ain't but this one. Let me. Now, my wife just, English teacher just had a heart attack. This, the truth. The only truth. There's nothing to compare to it. The word of God. He says, it is the truth. May I say, they are the pure words, the only truth. In Psalm 119 and verse 151, it says, thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. If Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Listen, his word is truth. Can I say in Psalm chapter 26, verse 3, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. Can I say his word is pure? His word is parting. His word is personalized just from Jesus, just to me. His word is the truth. It's a passageway that I'm supposed to walk in. Can I say it's paramount above all procedures? The Bible says in Psalm 33, 4, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. Man, I'm so glad that he's magnified his word above all his name. Why? Because his word is pure and his word is truth. May I say, Thy word is eternal, and I stand in awe. Psalm 119 and verse 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. He says, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Then he says this, Princes have persecuted me without cause. Man, I'm under the gun. I'm just under fire. Seems like I'm just, everybody and everything seems to be against me. But my heart standeth in awe of thy word. He said, as all the darts and all the junk is firing all around, I just stand there going. Like they don't exist. I got this cartoon in my brain, and this guy's in a little bubble, and all he's got is a Bible. And as they're firing rockets and shots, and they're just bouncing off because he's going. Remember when you first got saved? When you first saw for the very first time what the Word of God said, and you went, look at that. How come we don't do that anymore? What happened to the awe of God's Word? If you weren't here and you missed it, you just missed it. But I watched your pastor with notes and notes and notes. He said, I got an hour. I need an hour and a half. I, you know why? Because in his office, he's in there and he's working and he's going. Have you lost the wonder of it all? That all. Man, I get new stuff in my Bible, all of a sudden I just get, it's been there forever. Dummy has missed it. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It's always been there. Every time I read it, I've read it through 40 or 50 or 60 times. I have. And I'm not saying that to brag. I'm just saying I have. I like it when I read it and I wait for the jump off the page of God so I can go, man, I didn't know that. Maybe I didn't. I forgot. That's often the case too. And all you youngins that are laughing, you wait. We're going to laugh at you in heaven. See? Listen, thy word is eternal and I stand in awe. Can I say that word is eternal truth from its start? Thy word is eternally righteous in its judgments. Thy word is eternal and causes my heart to be awestruck. I wrote this, excuse me, but it says, I stand in awe and amazed at God's word. It's always right. It's absolute. It's amazing. It's bringing and brightening and beholding. It's a book of calling and commanding. It's captivating. It's demanding and directing, yet determined for my best interest and in my favor. It's eternal and empowering and for everyone. His book is faithful and forges a path for me. It's fiery and full of fury. It's from God and God breathed. It's good and gracious. It's settled in heaven and holy. It's illuminating and indwelling and inspiring. It's judicial and all about Jesus. It's kingly and kind. It's loving and lovely. It's ever looking to meet my needs. It's mind-blowing and meticulous. It has no match. It's naming and name-giving. I have a new name. I'm going to get a new name one of these days. Can I say it's outrageous and omnipotent and outpouring to our hearts and our lives. It's pure and powerful and penalizing and penetrating and purifying. It's questioning and often presents quandaries. It's redeeming and right and real and robust. It's rewarding and regal and reliable. It's sure and savage and sensible and sealing for your soul. It's salvation and separating as well as securing. It's tremendous and telling. It's truth and truthful. It's unbelievable. It's unfathomable. It's unfailing. It's unveiling. It's urgent, unwavering, and ultimate. It speaks of complete victory of Jesus and for each believer. It's valiant and vibrant. It's valuable and virtuous. It's victorious and viable. That means usable. It's the wisdom of the ages. It's the way to go. It's God's will to follow and His word to read and rely on. It's Xanadu. That means a luxurious place. Amen. I needed an X. It makes me want to yield to it as I desire to yell and shout its praise because of what it means to me and all it's done to me and for me. So I'm not yellow and cowardly. It's zeroed in on man and makes me no longer a zero. It's the zenith of all the world. That means the extreme brightness. It's the zenith of all the world. May I say today, His word is eternal truth from its start, eternally righteous in His judgments, eternal, and causes my heart to stand in awe. Can I say, His word is eternal and does not fade or wither away. The Bible says the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God standeth forever. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 8 and in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Can I say, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. His word is eternal and will outlast all created things. Amen. His word is in. Why did He magnify His word above all His name? Because it's eternal and makes us stand in awe. Can I say it's enriching? It enriches my soul. It's the word enrich means to supply with riches, wealth, abundance, and valuable possessions. Can I say, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them? Can I say, we ought to love of the Bible. Gives great peace to any and every believer. Love of the Bible keeps you from being easily offended, and loving the Bible makes you less desirous to want to offend others. Can I say, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them? Can I say, Christianity needs to develop that elephant type hide where you just don't get, somebody says something to you, somebody looks at you, or somebody doesn't look at you. We got to get away from that nonsense. Oh, look, I'm not saying I don't get my feelings hurt. I'm an Italian boy. I'm a Sicilian. I wear my feelings on my sleeve. I get my feelings hurt very easily. But you know what? Since I've been in the Lord's work, you better develop a tough hide. If you're going to, as a Christian, you have to, because the moment you speak the truth, they're cussing at you from people that aren't even in the conversation. Persecution's coming. It's not going to get easier or any better. So you have to. So God has made it so that we're enriched. We're I see that. Enriching. And I think of my wife and all you ladies that know how to cook, and you get on there and you know how to thicken stuff. And you enriching it, and you adding this and you're adding that and making this. And so you take, 16 bland items, and by the time it's done, it's enriched. It's like, wow, you put that in your mouth and go, glory to God, that's good. Like I did all them cookies yesterday. And every soup that I put in a bowl, and I had like four of them. It was only water, though. It's soup. That's the way I justified it in my brain. But it was, the flavors. You got this, and all those items together. Like, ugh. But you put them all together and heat it up. I'm like, glory to God. And that's the way it is with the Word of God. As you look in the Word of God, God said, I'll enrich your life. I'll make it so that you don't get so... Listen, great peace have they which love thy law. You read the Word of God, and you read how good He is and how much He loves you and how good He's been to you, and you think about all that He's done, and look at all that He's given and all that's taken place, and nothing shall offend you. How can I get offended? How can I get offended after all He's done? How can I get upset with that little puke and that little puke and that little puke and what that little puke has to say? I've got the eternal Word of God. How do I get upset? You get upset when you're not in it. You get upset when you don't love it like you ought to. Let me draw this thing to a close. Not yet. Psalm 119 verse 167 says this. Thy soul hath kept thy testimonies. My soul, excuse me. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. The word causes me to love God extremely, exceedingly. Can I say, when my soul, my inner man, is fed Bible, it will grow to love God to the extremes. When my soul, the inner man, is fed the Word of God, it will grow to love God and live, act, and do with exceeding zeal. He says, my soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I don't just love the Word of God. He says, I love them exceedingly. He couldn't think of a better way. Miguel, he couldn't think of a better way to say it. So he goes, I love the Word of God exceedingly. It's like when David spoke about the Lord and he says, I've got to build a house for the Lord. He got so excited. He said, and they made a new word. Because he said, it's got to be exceeding magnificent. What in the world is that? Now it's a word. But it wasn't when David came up with it. God came up with that word because he said, David, I'm going to give you something because I don't want my word to just be magnificent. I don't want it just to be wonderful. I want it to be all of the above and more. I'm going to be exceeding magnificent. Can I tell you something? I believe we can say that about the Word of God. He said, I love the Word of God. Hey, I love it exceedingly. Is the Word of God exceeding? Do you love it exceedingly? May I say, he's magnified His Word above all His name. Why? Because it's enriching. It'll cause us to love God exceedingly. His Word is unforgettable. In the last verse, Psalm 119, verse 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. We sing that song in our songbook sometimes, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Man, I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. Can I tell you something? When I read that verse the other day, like I read it for the very first time, and God started flooding my soul with all those times I walked away. And the psalmist says this, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. I got saved at 16, and I read my Bible through in 3.5 months, and I lived for God for about 6 months. My mom and dad are in heaven now, so they can both listen, depending on what you believe. I believe we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. I don't think they're just angels, but I don't know. If I disagree with him, then you let him be right and I'll be wrong and it'll be okay. You correct me later. But until then, just let me think what I think. But I remember rebelling. My dad and I got arguing. Now, if you're Italian or of some sort of Italian, Spanish, you understand that children don't tell parents anything. Children don't tell parents anything. Well, you know. You don't know nothing. Them old Italians, they look at you, hey, bestia, which means stupid. Bestia, what do you know? You don't know nothing. I know, you know nothing. My dad and I argued about salvation. And I'm 16, I'm trying to witness to him. And man, he's just blatantly, verbally abusive. Of course, we didn't call it verbal abuse. Back then, we just called it arguing. Except you had to do it carefully because you get smacked in the back of the head several times. Because they were great for that. I have been smacked a lot of times. I know you find that hard to believe because I'm so wonderful, but I remember all those arguments. And then I ran. At 16 years old, I looked at him. I said, you want a rebel? I'll give you one. And every gray hair and every sleepless night that my mom and dad had, I probably caused all of them. Because from 16 to almost 22, to past 22, I ran from God. And I went as far, almost as far as you could go before you fall off the cliff. Man, I'm so glad for the mercy and grace of God. Even when you're stupid. And I was extremely stupid. And I got mad at mom and dad. Got mad at dad. And I took it out on God. And I went into sin. Horrible. And every night I lay my head on my pillow somewhere. He says, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. He's begging God, seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. I lay my head on my pillow every night. I lay my head no matter where I was. Sometimes I slept in the truck. Sometimes I slept outside. Sometimes I was at grandma's house. Sometimes I was at, only the Lord knows. I don't even remember some of the places I was. I lay my head on my pillow. And I couldn't get away from my salvation. And I couldn't get away from the goodness of God and how He had saved me. And here I am running from God. And I said, God, I don't even know where I am. Don't even know what I'm doing. I don't even know how to ask for help. But I do know this. When He says, for I do not forget thy commandments, I couldn't forget. I just couldn't forget. Can I say, His word is unforgettable. Even when I have on purpose gone astray. Even when I'm lost on my own road. Even when I don't deserve to be found. And even when I want to forget, I cannot forget God's word. It's stuck in my mind and in my heart. It stirs my soul and my spirit, and I cannot shake it. Even if I wanted to, and by the way, I don't. Let me just end by saying, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy name. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. His name is to be magnified. His name is to be exalted. His name is to be blessed and praised always. His name and His fame is great and unsearchable, but His word is to be held in highest esteem. His word is to be held and with highest honor. And His word is to be held and with holiest of regards. I'm so glad that He's mine. I'm so glad that He's left a copy of His book with me. I'm so glad you have a copy. But let me ask you today, do you know Him today? Do you know Him as your Savior? You see, He loves you today. He'll save you if you let Him. He's magnified His name, His word above all His name. But can I say, at the name of Jesus, the Bible says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess of things in heaven, of things of earth, and of things under the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Understand, He's given us His word and He's magnified it above all His name. But at the name of Jesus, you can trust and you can get saved. Are you saved today? Do you know Him today? Do you walk with Him? Do you let His word? He walks with me and He talks with me. And He tells me, I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there. Can I tell you something? It's like nothing I can even explain. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Bible. that you and I have. It has the ability to save. It has the ability to shore up that which is broken. It has the ability to mend and help and bless and comfort and give you everything you need. Why? Because he said, I've magnified it. If you'll use it, if you'll let it be the great book it is, I've magnified it above everything, above all my name. There's just nothing like it. Would you come to him and trust him today? Heavenly Father, would you please bless us? Lord, it's been a good week. It's been a good time. But Father, if folks leave here this morning lost and undone and fail to trust your book, how sad. How sad that would be. They have a copy of the greatest material ever given man, called the Bible. And if they refuse it, or if they just walk away, how sad. How sad if they don't take it and apply it to their sinful, sin-sick soul this morning. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, how many would say, preacher, if I died right now, I am absolutely, positively, no doubt about it, sure. Preacher, I know that I know that I know that I know for a Bible reason I'm saved and on my way to heaven. You slip your hand up. Say, preacher, I'm saved and I know it. I'm saved and I know it. On my way to heaven, no doubt about it. Or you can put your hands down. How many would be honest with God this morning and say, preacher, I just could not raise my hand a moment ago. I'm just not 100% sure. But I am concerned this morning for my soul. I don't want to die and go to hell. And if it was something I could know, I'd like to know. And by the way, you can know. Because it's in His Word. How many say, preacher, I'm not sure about salvation this morning, but I am concerned for my soul and I don't want to die and go to hell. Would you please pray for me? Can I pray for you, my friend? Anybody like that? Say, preacher, please pray for me. I'm just not 100% sure about salvation this morning. Anybody like that at all? Anybody like that at all? Okay, I saw your hand, honey. That's why you have people sitting right alongside you that'll help you. Listen, He loves you this morning. Let's stand together. Maybe we need to come around, get around an old-fashioned altar this morning. Maybe we just need to come and thank Him for that wonderful gift, the Word of God, that He's magnified above all His name. Heavenly Father, please, would you bless our invitation this morning? Father, for those that are wandering and wondering about salvation, may they come and get this thing nailed down and squared away, because His Word is a fire and a hammer. He'll burn off the junk and He'll nail your salvation down if you let Him. But Father, this morning, you've magnified it above all else, above all your name. And there's nothing like you are, Jesus. Nothing like this Bible I hold in my hand. Father, help us to honor you by honoring it, by using it, by reading and sharing and studying and understanding and growing deeper. Listen, as we get deeper in the Word of God, as we get the Word will get deeper in us and it'll deepen. God, please help us to revere your Word. Help us to use your Word this morning in Jesus' name. Amen, preacher.